Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Kenzie. Welcome back to Tampa Babe, a podcast all about the shit show that I get into in my 20s living in Tampa. This week, I physically cannot contain myself, but before we get to my special guest of this week, I have to quickly apologize. I totally lied to you guys last week. I promised you guys on Instagram that I was going to release a new episode on Friday instead of Wednesday, but just full transparency, last week was a hard week. There was a lot of tears. There was not a lot of mojo in the studio. I was not ready to film. I was not happy. And because I care about this, even though it seems like kind of a gag, this show like means a lot to me. And I didn't want to put out an episode simply for the sake of putting out an episode. So thank you guys for waiting. Welcome to Wednesday or Thursday or whenever day that you guys are listening to this. I'm so, so, so excited to introduce you our first guest ever on Tampa Babe, my friend Jordan. Hi, Jordan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm so excited that you're here. If you guys can't tell, the energy is just so much higher today. It is so fun having somebody here to record with me. And I'm so excited to have somebody like Jordan here to be talking about what we're going to be talking about. Jordan is one of literally the kindest people I've ever met. And if you guys have been an OG on the show, you may have heard the story of my beautiful, amazing friend who brought me a book in the middle of a hurricane. That was Jordan. So to paint you guys a picture about like how sweet this person is, a few of you DM'd me about that story specifically. So what a better person to have on the show. And to kick it off this week, we're going to be talking about a couple things. So first off, we're going to be talking about dating in your mid-20s, how that's different now living in a big city like Tampa or Chicago or New York, wherever you may be from, versus dating during the pandemic and how different that might be. And also the feelings of FOMO that we experience while people around us are, you know, getting married, getting engaged, having babies. And it seems like everyone around you is taking that next step. They're getting that promotion. They're finding, you know, that the love at their job. What are you left to do then if you feel like you haven't found that direction? And then lastly, imposter syndrome. So once you do find something that you like doing and you think you're doing a good job, but you're constantly faced with this anxiety that you're never doing enough, or that your boss is mad at you, or that you're faking it, that you truly don't know what it is you're talking about, and you're just throwing shit at the wall waiting for something to stick. We talk about all that and more. So stay tuned for this week's episode. Okay, so Jordan, hello, hi. Hello. So happy that you are here. Can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself since they know everything about me? They don't give a shit about me this week. They care about you.
Yes. So my name is Jordan. I am 24, turning 25 in December. I am getting to that age where I think that's old, but I know it's not. We are young at heart, but we're really not old at all. But I would say that I am figuring things out. I'm at that kind of stage in my life, you know, being 24, I have, you know, a degree at this point. I'm searching for a new job right now, but not technically in my field. And we're just figuring it out. But I live in Florida. I've lived in Florida my whole life. I met Kenz just a few months ago and we became really close. She's one of my very good friends now. And yeah, so we're living our best lives, you know, being 24 and figuring it out. And that's just a little bit about me. I
love that. And honestly, that doesn't even begin to engulf all the amazingness that is Jordan. Everybody that I talk to about Jordan, the number one thing that I say, and it sounds so like surface level, but I'm like, this is genuinely and wholeheartedly the nicest person I've ever met in my life. And I don't say that as like a, you're so nice. Oh my God. Yeah, you're so nice. I mean like truly, I did not believe that you were as kind as you were because I've never met a human being in my life that I'm like, wow, they're so nice. I'm like, they're nice. What's their deal? Like, what's your story? What are you hiding from me?
You know, it's justified. It's
yeah,
justified.
Exactly. There are a lot of evil people in the world. You know, I've had some friends that are questionable. I mean, we know that. We've already heard about some of them. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your dating history and what that looks like for you. Maybe pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, and then how that's changed now post, I don't want to say post pandemic because I know cases are going back up again, but you know, as we walked into that space where people were getting vaccinated and you're able to kind of go out again and meet people, like what did that look like for you from, you know, the end of 2019 to, you know, 2021?
Okay. Absolutely. So I would say like starting 2019, that was the end of my first like really real relationship. So I was a bit of a late bloomer. I didn't date a ton in high school. I was super busy. I played two sports. I was looking to go to college for softball and I had a job. So I had a lot of stuff going on and I had guy friends, but I didn't really date until college.
Was that intentional? Did you not date on purpose because you were waiting for like the one, or was it more of just like, you know what, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I'm young. I don't have time.
I definitely had good guy friends that I had crushes on, but I think my standards were just really, really high at a young age.
Yes,
my parents have been married for 30 years this year, and that was like something I realized at a young age was not normal, because mm-hmm. At one point I came home and I'll never forget, I told my mom, I said, I sat at a lunch table with like 20 girls and I was the only parent, or the, not the only parent, the only kid with married parents. And I just thought that was like flabbergasting. And then, but going into that, and like, I have an older brother who's always been very sweet to like his girlfriend. So I had good, really, really good examples. And so when I didn't get that, you know, at a young age, I was just like, oh, I'm like, I'll just be alone for now. And that'll come. Cause I knew it was out there.
Yeah.
And then, and I did have like short, like a couple month relationships, in high school. I had one, and that like just ended quickly. In college, I had a similar thing, which was like my first, what I thought then was like my first real relationship.
Yeah.
And was cheated on really bad. So the whole, like, I was with this guy for like, it's okay. You
know,
it was a good learning experience.
Can I ask, how did you find out?
Absolutely. So I met this guy. I thought he was like, it was all that in a bag of chips, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was like tall, handsome. He was in the military and the reserves. He was also going to college, and then he had a full-time job. I'm like, this guy's got it. He's my age. He's like so driven. And
red flags.
All red flags, right? Terrible. We hate him already. I wish I would have known that. And actually, one of my like semi-acquaintances from high school was like, oh, be careful. And he just seemed so fabulous and I had such high standards, and he seemed to just check all the boxes that I was like, no way. I'm like, someone's told you the wrong info. And I was just giving this guy that I didn't know the benefit of the doubt. So I was with him for like 3 months, and the same friend asked to get coffee, and we only got together like every couple months.
Yeah.
It was like one of those like coffee hangs, you know, and like not a super close friend, but you just keep up with each other.
A good girl to get coffee with.
A good girl to get coffee with. It was an interesting friendship.
Yeah.
We're not friends anymore. And so I found out because she was still friends with his ex, and that's why she warned me. But she was like, she also told me that like his ex was a little like, not like crazy, but they had this like kind of toxic relationship.
Okay.
So I was trying to take that with a grain of salt and give this guy the benefit of the doubt, because I also had an older brother, you know, that had like girls say stuff about him. And yeah. I knew that like that wasn't the case. So I was trying to play devil's advocate a little bit. Long story short, I find out that the 3 months that I'm with him, that he was basically having sex with his ex-girlfriend. And the whole three months. So I
had no idea.
So I'm with this.
You had no inkling at all during.
No, because he just had it all together. And so let me just paint a picture for you. This is like summer. I'm in college. I wasn't taking classes at the time, and we spent a lot of days together.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't working, when I wasn't working, I kid you not, there was days where I was with him from like 8 a.m. to 12 or 1. And then again the next day, because it was like the first start of like my first relationship. We're like with each other a lot. She would come home. She would come to his apartment to have sex with him and like, or be with him, whatever. I don't know all the details, but that's what I was told. Like during those small hours, like between, and then
she knew
that
for
was
sure.
Okay.
Because you don't show up for booty call hours if you don't know something's going on.
Yes, she did know.
Wow.
She knew of me the whole time.
What a snake.
Yeah, so I found out because her girlfriend that we had mutual friends with that warned me about their toxic relationship in the past, she asked to get coffee. And it kind of just seemed a little weird. And we hadn't like super defined the relationship, but I'm like, I'm with this man like all the time. I'm not going to be like, you know, we're older, you know, I thought at the time. So I wasn't like, I just assumed like that's what we were doing, right. You know, and at the time too, like full disclosure, I'm a pretty open book. I'm okay with saying this. I was a virgin at the time. Yeah. And he took my virginity without me knowing that he was also having sex with this other girl.
Ew.
Yeah. And
double snake.
Yeah. And she knew, like, I don't know if she knew that part, but it just, I found out because this girl asked to get coffee with me, and this is after the fact. And, she basically just like let it out. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, this girl wants to talk to you. And I was like, trying to think it through, like, I'm literally at breakfast with this girl. And I'm like, I wanted nothing to do with her, especially since she knew of me. I'm like, that is someone I never want to be in contact with. So she went ahead and I was like, can you tell her to like screenshot any texts I need to see and just send them to you? And so that way, like, I'm sure she isn't like super thrilled about talking to me either. Yeah. And I would just rather like keep it cordial. And I was trying to be smart about it. And she's like, that's a good idea. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And so we're there at breakfast for like 3 hours because she's sending her 3 months worth of texts and of them talking about me together.
Ew.
Yeah. So
absolutely not.
Yeah. So this was the first relationship. And I do honestly, like, if this friend that we had mutual friends with ever hears this, I appreciate you. Well, you didn't end the best just because I felt hurt that I felt like you semi knew. So if you ever hear this, I do apologize for being a little hurt afterward, but it was kind of a lot for me at the time. And I went home, but like she didn't like, I told you so, but it was kind of like, I was upset and she was just, well, I kind of like warned you, like justifiably. And I was just like, well, my heart's kind of broken.
You don't know until you know in situations like that. And I feel like it's the responsibility of the people that are in the know to it. Cause I've been cheated on too.
Yeah.
And I always feel like it's the responsibility of the people who know, or at least have some sort of inkling, mm-hmm. even if they're the ones who warned you, to be like, hey, I'm going to follow through on the original warning and not just be like, hey, I warned you, I'm wiping my hands clean. It's, I warned you and I care about you. And now I'm keeping up with this situation that I was weary about, and I'm keeping up with you.
Right.
And now I found out information and now I'm going to tell you, but in a loving, respectful, and, you know, demeaning way. Yeah. Or not demeaning way. I mean, that's just...
I think she, at the age that we were then, like, I think she tried to, and I don't think I handled it as well. I just kind of, like, wrote her off, you know, fair. as that friend that I would get, you know, hang out with, and I just didn't let that continue. But I think she was trying to be a homie. Yeah. So
we respect you.
We respect you, friend, and I hope maybe one day you hear that. But
no hate, no shade.
No hate, no shade.
Sorry, I didn't mean to attack you. To be honest, that was me projecting. The person
I just look back now and I feel like, I'm like, she tried the best she could. She was closer with the other girl. So that's
okay.
Why.
You then know, that's
makes
fair.
A little bit more sense.
You know, where your loyalties lie, I mean, we respect it. Yeah. I was projecting about a girl that didn't tell me that knew.
Trust me, I was there. I had those feelings.
Okay, so that's your first experience with real relationship. So then you go into
That was your lesson
to learn.
My first boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your first boyfriend, lesson to learn. What you're not looking for in relationships. How old were you when that happened?
I was either a sophomore or a junior in college.
So you're like 20-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
18, so, like 19. Yeah.
So then you get into your next... So obviously things happened in between. How long were you single after that happened?
Oof. That's a great question. My next relationship started my senior... Like end of junior, senior year. So I would say that was probably like sophomore, early junior year.
Okay.
And I probably like at least... 6 months to a year.
Okay.
So I think a whole year.
Okay. So you're single for about a year, we'll mm-hmm. say, and then you get into your next relationship. What did that relationship kind of just not necessarily the whole, I mean, won't make you, you know, captivate 2 years in a sentence, but like in sort of a brief way, like how did that relationship start, go, and end?
So just like short and sweet. We were good friends for like a whole like couple semesters before we started dating. And it was always this weird, like, are we friends? Are we more? Like some days, you know, he would talk to me like a bro. And other days I was just like, seemed like I was the love of his life. So I was like, what are we doing here? And there were a few times where I like called him out. I'm like, dude, like, I like you. So
yeah, if be that's about like, it, let's go.
If that's too much for you, just like let a homie know. And so I won't like, so I can like cut these feelings off and like kind of work that out myself. And then we could just be friends.
Right.
And he acknowledged that, but it would only like work for like a week. And then it went back to this weird like give and take where like, I was like, I have no freaking clue what this is or what we're doing here. Because there were times where I would be at school because I was a commuter. So I'd be there from like 9 to 9 or 9, like all day if I wasn't working. And we would have like breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. It was ridiculous. And like study for hours. And we spent a lot of time together. So that was the kind of like the beginning. And then I finally just got like tired of being like, you treat me like your girlfriend some days, and then some days I'm like your homie. So like I'm over it. We've talked about this like 3 times. And so that was like, we had that conversation, and then it was my birthday and he really respected it the third time. And then I invited him to my birthday and had a few drinks, and then I kissed him.
Good for you. Completely
threw into that whole like, I'm a strong man.
Yes, we love that. Fuck gender stereotypes. You can make the first move and things can still, I mean, obviously that relationship didn't work out, spoiler alert, but like, you can still make the first move and it can still be like hot. It can still be cool to be the girl that makes the first move. It's like, listen, I can't wait forever. If you can't figure out what you want, shit or get off the pot at this point, because I'm worth too much to just wait for you.
Right. And I did that, and then he respected it, and then I kissed him, and then I think he was like, he apologized to me the next day, and I was like, oh dude, no, it's, that was my bad. And but so, and then it was just this weird thing where I was like, no, I like really drew the line then. I was like, if that's not what you're like, if I'm like, I can tell there's like these weird feelings, but if you're not 100%, then like, let's just give each other the time. Cause it was kind of winter break. So I'm like, let's just give each other this space and not even like, cause we would talk every single day, multiple times a day. So I'm like, let's just cut that off and come back next semester and just be cool. You know, just be friends. And then he was like, well, I never got to like really take you out for your birthday. So let me go on this big date. And I'm like, okay, just dinner. Then like, we're not talking till we come back after Christmas and the holidays. And he was like, okay. And then he like made this elaborate date, and it was like absolutely like awesome, you know, at the time, but I'm like in love with him. and long story short, he still didn't know what he wanted at the end of the date, but was like being so sweet and romantic. And I literally, I was like, I need to go. I like had that conversation again, and then we didn't talk for 2 or 3 days. Great date up until the end. And then he like sends me this long, like romantic text, like on a plane, and he's leaving like Florida at the time. And basically that's how we started dating. He's like, oh my God, like I didn't realize like I like my feelings are like, this is now I know what I want kind of a thing. We dated for 2 years. It was absolutely awesome. You know, up until like the end, but there ends, you know, some things just come to an end, and that's okay.
You guys ended up living together though, right? Like it was serious. Yeah,
for a good, yes, it was very serious. At least from my perspective, and I think he would say at the time that we were dating from his as well. Absolutely gem of a human. He's a good person. I learned a lot from him. I really grew as a person dating him, which was really cool. I would do it all over again, even though it really sucked at the end. I would do it all over again because I just really appreciate him as a person, and I appreciated what I learned during that time. We definitely weren't made for each other. I think we were so opposite that it worked. We were kind of like a yin and yang for a long time. Like I'm very like, I come from a family that's like very like rainbows and butterflies and everybody's happy. And if you're not happy, then it's just like, are you okay? And it's very sweet. And then it's just like, okay, well let's get an ice cream and let's go have a good day, you know? And he didn't come from that. He came from like a very different family. Like it was still a ton of love, a ton of like, but we just came from different backgrounds. And I think that's where I learned a lot from him. And he definitely grew me as a person. I grew with him, not he grew me. But it was really good up until the end. I think it was getting to a point where we both weren't super positive that we were like each other's people. Okay. I know there were times where I just didn't know if he was happy. And then I questioned if I was really happy. And I think we just were, I think we were besties. Yeah. And, but we weren't like in love. And I think okay. that's hard. Cause when you have yeah. love for a person, but you realize as time goes on that you're not like, maybe they're not like your true love.
It's not romantic
love. It's not romantic love.
But it's, yeah. it is still love that can be super confusing.
But you can, yeah. And you can yeah. love someone so much still. And I think that's where we got to.
I'd like to add in too, you've always spoken so highly of everyone in your life.
Thanks.
But like specifically, like you really do talk about him highly, which I really respect. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it comes from like, oh my God, I'm still like in love with you. Like it's no. like, you just yeah. truly respect him and you truly do mean it when you say like, I learned a lot from him and I wouldn't change it. Like I've met a lot of people who have gone through breakups and they're mm-hmm. like, especially long breakups when you've dated yeah. for multiple years, especially you're living together, you're building a life together. Mm-hmm. And then to say like, oh no, but I respect them. It's like, but do you? Cause like when you know, the crowd goes home, you talk shit about them constantly. Yeah. Like when you're drunk, you talk shit about them. You've never talked badly about this person. You've always just said like, you know what? It didn't work out and that's okay. And I'm so excited to like meet who is the right person.
Yeah.
And I would like to extend that to others who may be going through a similar situation, mm-hmm. who may be hearing this right now and maybe experiencing the heartbreak of a fresh breakup or still kind of going through that transition mm-hmm. of, you know, a long breakup. And then it's like, well, who am I? What do I want? What kind of person am I looking for? I thought I found like my best, my, you know, my soulmate in my best friend. And it's like,
for sure,
you should look for a partner who is your friend, is your confidant, but it can't stop there. There has no. to be more. And for you to be able to talk about this. And first of all, thank you for talking
oh my
about
gosh,
this.
Of course.
But also like, thank you for always being such a kind person. Again, guys, this is what I'm saying. This girl is too good. She's too good for us. To be able to talk about somebody who, you know, to get out of that relationship, I know it was really hard, and yet you mm-hmm. still have so much compassion for him. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
And I just want to commend you for that before. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just had to get that in before, you know, we get to the end of this story. Like, that's a big deal to be yeah. able to be that kind of person. And that shows how genuine that you are.
Well, I think anytime that it doesn't work out, right? Like that's, like I was heartbroken. Like I, like anyone that like knew me during that time, like, and that was like if you were in my life at that time, I like, you would have gotten like calls just like hysterically crying because I had a life with him, you know, and I not only lived with him, we had a dog, you know, mm-hmm. That was like my child. So we had a dog together. It was his dog, but I was like there as a puppy, you know, right. I thought I was going to be with this dog for its whole life. We had talked about grad school. We had talked about, you know, where we were going to live. We were going to move to the other coast in Florida, and like live in the same, like the house next to his parents and, you know, and all these things. And we had planned so much out. We planned out how we were going to pay off student loans and talked about like kids and all these things. And which you should do if you're in a serious relationship, because that means that you're committed. And I always had those like checkpoints where I'm like, okay, you know, yeah. if we like get to these points and like, it's good, you know, but I think there was a time and I can see it so much clearly now. So like Ken said, anytime that you kind of, if you're going through that right now, give yourself that time to mm-hmm. feel that. Cause there's no, it's only going to take longer if you don't allow those emotions
exactly.
to go through. Lean on those people, pour out your cup, because your cup's just going to overflow if you don't. And, but try, you know, if it did just kind of end, you know, most likely there's a positive that will come out of it, and try to give yourself the time to feel those feelings, to feel hurt, to do all those things. But also, you know, don't disregard this person as like the worst person in the world if they're not, you know,
right.
And try to remind yourself that you had good time, you had good lessons, and you never know. Who knows? It might be this person that might come back to you. Never know. But, or not. Totally okay. And there's plenty of relationships that should end for
yes.
bad reasons, you know, or for good reasons because it was bad. But no, I totally, you know, we ended, it was kind of a surprise to me at the time, but I understand it. It was a little hurtful that like after 2 years that he got into a new relationship just a couple months after.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like to this day that doesn't really like, I love this person for who they are. And I think that this new person with them now sees them better. You know, I think they
yeah.
fit them better. I always think that like, you're this puzzle and there's a specific person that can like fit, you know, in your little like romantic, whatever relationship that it is, friendships, whatever, but you can't jam someone into your like jigsaw.
Yeah.
And I heard that there was a comedian that says that, and I was like, gold, that was gold. And I was like, that's what I was trying to do, because I think I was just, we weren't those pieces for each other, but we were both just like, oh, we love them so much. They're such a good person.
Just because you want it doesn't mean that that's what's right. meant to be.
And just because
and you can't force it, no. Forcing it's not going to make it better. It's actually going to make it worse, because then you're just going to be wondering why this effort and time that you're putting into this person, why am I still not their person? Because you're not meant to be that
exactly.
person. And if you have to work, okay, again, if you have to work that hard mm-hmm. to make something work, it's broken.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, truly, ma'am. Truly.
And I did. I worked, like, I say now, too, that, and I think this is part of the reason that was probably a bit unattractive for him, like, coming full circle, was that, like, I felt like I just tried, was, at the time, looking back, like, I was really trying to live his life with him mm-hmm. instead of living my own life, like, in kind of, like, yeah. going on the same road as him, you know? So, long story short, that ended, but, yeah, no hate. I've been single since. That was at the beginning of 2019, so we're just living our single life. But other than that, yeah, no, everything's great. You know, I don't think that we were cordial afterwards, you know, of course. And it was weird, and there are times where, you know, it sucked. But, yeah, you know, we're figuring it out. And it taught me what I do want and what I do need, especially in regards to, like, love language and mm-hmm. what I didn't get from him. Not that he wasn't an amazing partner at you know, for a good majority, but, like, we weren't each other's pieces. And I know that now, and I know exactly why. So that's really important.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you touched on love languages. I'm just curious what yours are.
Like what mine are,
how do you receive love, and then how do you give love?
Okay. I definitely give love through gifts. So I'm definitely like, I love doing that. I'm big. Like if it's your birthday, you are getting a balloon, you are getting flowers, you are getting something, because everyone deserves a little something on their birthday, damn it. And yeah. Okay. I was a little nervous if I could say that. So we had to check.
Fuck. We can swear out a lot, you guys. Don't worry.
But no, everyone deserves a freaking slice of cake and a balloon on their birthday. Damn it. So I love, but I do truly, like, if you get a job promotion, it doesn't matter, family, friends, whatever, like, relationship of love that you are in my yeah. life, like, big gift giver, big words of affirmation. That's how I give love to you. I love being someone's hype woman. It's very much my job right now. I would say I receive love in similar ways. I do love, you know, kind of just little gifts. They don't have to be like expensive.
Yeah.
But something I always thought was like so special that my dad always did for my mom, just at the most random moments, he would like leave work he was a manager at Publix for a long time. So he would just like leave work for an hour, go to like a florist. And it didn't matter if it was like daisies or whatever, yeah. but he would get my mom this like little bouquet and he would just drop it off at work and then leave and be like, love you, okay, bye. Or just like little things, like leaving little notes. And it like again, it doesn't have to be expensive, like buying a Clif Bar and, you know, the night yes. before, and like for, you know, if you run a marathon or if you like have something in your life that you do, or if it's a big day, like those little things.
Yeah.
I definitely love that. And yeah, I'd say they're pretty similar, like words of affirmation, big physical touch person.
Awesome.
I am a hugger.
She is. I can attest to that. She loves to give a good hug.
I have a lot of friends that aren't, so I have to check now. I mean, like, I usually like ask, I'm like, can I have one right now? You know, so
for the record, I am that person that she's talking about. I hate getting hugged. I hate physical touch.
You have gotten for a few hugs recently with me, and I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So
the wine's been flowing. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think gifts is awesome. I think it's so important to remember with gifts that it's not about the gift, it's about the sentiment of a gift.
Yeah.
So like you said, like it doesn't matter if it's big or small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I loved the idea of being a gift giver, but to be honest with you, I'm not a gift giver.
Yeah.
My the way I receive love is words of affirmation and quality time.
Oh yeah.
And which is so funny, being mm-hmm. in like a long distance relationship, I'm like, you better get those words in. You better send me a nice text in the morning, or I'm gonna cry all day.
Aww.
or
with quality time, especially being in long distance, it's like we do FaceTime dates. Like, yeah. Like, you know, we do a lot of like really elaborate FaceTime dates. Like we'll do wine tastings over the phone or we'll watch a show together over the phone and like over FaceTime. Like we really go above and beyond, or we'll both order the thing that we're craving and then like watch something talk about something, which is honestly so much better than being in person, because when you're in person, you have to eat the same thing. And it sometimes I want sushi and almost all the time he wants pizza. So, you know,
sometimes we just can't compromise. And
Exactly.
And that should be allowed.
I give love through words of affirmation as well. Because I think I'm one of those people that like words mean so much to me. So like I can't comprehend when I say something nice to somebody and they're like, oh, thanks. I'm always just assuming everybody's like, thank you so much. You just made my day.
And when they don't, it's just like,
okay. And when they don't, you're like, well, fuck you then. Okay. Yeah. And I would say the other way that I give love is actually physical touch, because I don't like it.
I think you think other people need it.
I 100% do. So the three closest people in my life are you, Abby, my best friend from home, and Riley. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say like Chelsea and Rachel are like definitely up there as well. All of our friends, but like those people specifically, with the exception of Chelsea, everybody loves physical touch, loves a good hug. And like, I respect Chelsea. Chelsea, if you're listening to this, hi, I love you so much. I love that like when she offers me a hug, I'm like, I must look real sad.
Or she's like semi-cringing.
Yeah. And like when she and I are both like, okay. Okay, are we done now? Can we be done with
this? I think it's a mutual respect. You're like, oh, thank God, she didn't want
to. We're like,
today.
Oh my God, it's over. Thank you. I love too when I tell people that. They're like, did your parents not hug you as a kid? I'm like, did your parents hug you as a kid? Like, I don't understand what your question is. I'm kidding, Mom. I'm kidding.
We love you, Mom.
Okay, so let's shift now a little bit and talking about emotional intelligence in dating. So I know when you're younger, 18, 19, 20, even like 21, when you're like fresh into college, fresh into like the bar scene, if you didn't go to college, there's this mentality of like, I want the best person in the room. And it's almost like Darwinism for dating. Like, it's literally like, who is the hottest, strongest, richest, coolest person in the room right now?
Yeah.
And how can I get that person to go home with me or be interested in me? Versus being, once you start getting past being 21, graduating from college, you know, or, you know, getting more into your career if you decided not to go to college, like, there's more to people you realize as you get older. Like, what is that? What is your opinion on that? Like emotional intelligence in general, like what is sexy about that to you as somebody who's about to be 25?
Absolutely. I think we've talked about this like personally together too, is the biggest thing, like you realize as you get older that it's just like, it's so much more sexy to see someone's personality come out, especially like on a first date, right? Or like as, you know, as you're slowly starting to get to know people and or that person that you're interested in. Like for them to be so kind to like a little kid or like an elderly person, or, you know, the way that they talk to the server at the restaurant, you know, those little things. And especially just like how I think it's so sexy when someone is like passionate about anything, you know, like tell me what lights your fire, you know? And then also if they're able to just like read other people, like specific like emotional intelligence, if you're able to see more than yourself, right? And sit in a room of people and be like, you know, if I can see you look at someone or even look at me and be like, are you okay? You know, and be like, I saw you do this earlier and I just want to like make sure, like I want to like check in on you. Like, super sexy. Absolutely.
Paying 100%. Attention to other people and not just the people that are like in your direct circle. Absolutely. I think is huge. I think also just like in talking about, we talked about love languages. Mm-hmm. And I think giving a shit about what somebody's love language is and not just chalking it up to, well, this is how I give love. And, you know, this is like, so that's what you just have to get used to. Like, I give love by giving presents. So you just have to be okay with getting presents every time I fuck up. It's like, no, I need you to tell me, as somebody who receives love through words of affirmation, I need you to tell me that you're proud of me, that you love me, that I'm beautiful, that you think I'm intelligent, that, you know, whatever it may be, that I'm bigger than my problem, you know, whatever it is.
I think that's way sexier than somebody being like, hey, guess what? I made $1 million last year. I drove a Tesla and I was in a frat in college.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, you're an asshole. And
thank you. Please get away from me.
I literally am not interested in you at all. I could not care less.
Yeah.
Like, you could be 400 pounds, fat, bald, and toothless, but as long as you're like a good person and you give a shit about other people, yeah. Like, I heard this once and I wonder what your thoughts are on it. Cause I think it's like a bit of an extreme, but like, I think it's kind of beautiful in its own right. But this idea of falling in love with someone's eyes. I don't know if you've ever heard this. I don't know if anybody's listening has heard this.
I like it already.
You fall in love with someone's eyes so that you can fall in love with their soul versus the way that they physically look. Because those eyes will never change. But the way that they look always will. You'll change the way you look year over year over year. And different circumstances will make you skinnier. Different circumstances will make you fatter. Different circumstances will make you lose your hair. And other times you'll dye your hair red or blonde or black or cut your hair short, keep it long, whatever it is. You're always going to look different, right?
Right.
But your eyes are never going to change. What your soul is should always stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going to bring you down. Things are going to make you sad. Things are going to hurt you. They're going to try you. Life is going to get hard. But if the person sitting across from you, the love of your life,
yeah.
can look you in the eyes and be like, I love you. You're beautiful. You are strong. I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, what the fuck else could you want? Like, literally, for all the like little.
Please tell me.
For all of, I don't want to say little. You guys are not little. You're an adult. All the younger people that are in college yeah. right now. And you're trying to chase this guy that's a fucking douchebag and he's not giving you the time of day and you're just like wondering what you can do to make him interested in you. I'm telling you, as the girl who used to be that girl, just walk away.
Yeah.
You can't make someone want you that doesn't want you. And there is nothing uglier to men and to women than to chase someone who's clearly showing you through their actions that they don't want you.
110%.
Like,
I
can't comprehend being that girl anymore.
No, absolutely not. I think that I'm a very old soul. So that, like, what you're talking about with, like, the eyes and all of that, I think is so, so sweet. And I wholeheartedly love that. I'm going
to
use
it. Feel free to use it.
Use it for the rest of my life. But I think it's so true. I think that to truly be in love, to truly fall in love, you don't the physical attraction, that's like so surface level. It's important,
yeah.
right? You know, initially that's like our own, that's like human nature, right?
Right.
That's
our animal.
We are animals, you know, at the end of the day. But what keeps someone and what creates actual love and, you know, like true love is what you are on the inside. It's yeah. your mind. It's like who you are. It's to your core soul. And if someone not only can see that, like that's a, you know, first you have to be able to be emotionally intelligent enough, I think, and just mature enough through experience, right? Being that girl that, you know, we all used to be or that guy,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
And just going for that physical attraction because they were the hottest at the time
right.
or like just a hot commodity. Like I even know in like, everyone had that person in like elementary school and middle school and like younger years that like, you know, maybe now isn't so cute, but like everyone's just like, oh, they are this shit.
The popular kid in grade school, please. The guy I had a crush on in fifth grade was untouchable.
Yeah. Oh. So I think that, you know, and especially at this age, like you just see so much. Like you have to, I have a story, but when, I think I've told you this before, but very similar. So when I was in middle school, and I'll never forget this guy. If you're not married in 10 years, please put a ring on my finger. I will take it. But I have naturally very curly hair and did back then as well. And but I didn't know it at the time. I had to have a hairstylist tell me because my mom has straight hair. And so I would brush out my hair and I just thought I had this ugly, ugly hair because it was so poofy and we live in Florida with the humidity. I looked like Anne Hathaway in the Diaries and Princess Diaries with her hair brushed out. It was not a good time. And
you looked like a moose.
Yes. No, my God, I forgot about that. But yeah, so I was just trying to figure that out. I'm not, you know, ashamed to say I was a little fugly in like sixth and seventh grade, but there was this kid and at a young age, he had that, right? Like he could see yeah. me. And past all of that. And I was like, I was not a cutie. I
friend. But he, I remember in later years in high school, and I had the biggest crush on him, and I didn't think that he liked me. He told me in like my junior, senior year when we were like at the beach, and I had like really had a glow up at this moment. And he was like, I had the absolute biggest crush on you in like sixth and seventh grade. And I looked this man in the eyes and I was just like, thank you so much. Like, I hope you just find the absolute gem of this earth if it's not me, you know, because you are so special. And he really saw me for me. Like, he really liked me because I was kind and because we just got along and had similar interests. And I think if you don't have that, then like, why even commit to anyone in any type of relationship, friends, relationship, anything.
I totally agree. Literally, emotional intelligence, I feel like, is the one thing that if you continue to do it, it's the only thing that will make you more attractive as you get older.
Absolutely.
Like, we're all going to get uglier. Not uglier, but we're going to change. We're going to get wrinkles. We're going to have roles in places we didn't have roles.
This
is our
prime.
Yeah, like, you know, thank God every day for the person you are right this moment, because you're just going to get uglier.
Yeah.
You know, unless
and we're going to embrace it. Yeah. But this is our prime physically.
Of course. Physically, if this is what you care about, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because we have all looked back on those photos of us from when we were 15, like, oh my God, I was so fat. I was so ugly. Like, I'm so awful. And you look at them now and you're like, I was so skinny. I was so hot. I was so.
Yeah.
My hair was so long and so thick. Why? What did I do? And, you know, whatever. But like, if you practice emotional intelligence every day, let's say it's like a savings, like you start right now, you're still going to have more emotional intelligence than somebody who starts when they're 40 if you start right now in your 20s.
Yeah.
And it's so important because it's such the core of being a good person. Because even if it's not romantic, like emotional intelligence, just to practice it with your friends.
Oh, my gosh.
To practice it with your family. Mm-hmm. And that's something through therapy. Like, I didn't even know what emotional intelligence was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was brought to my attention that I had almost none. Genuinely.
Like, I don't believe that. No, that's crazy.
I'm telling you, like, my therapist brought this to my attention and she was like, do you think that you practice emotional intelligence? And I was like, what is emotional intelligence? Mm-hmm. And she was like, emotional intelligence is where you practice empathy and sympathy and you're actively working towards catering to people's emotions because you're trying to understand them on an emotional level versus understanding them for who they are situationally.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was like, well, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm pretty judgmental. Cause I am. And I know that about myself, and that's something that
you're
I
honest.
Work on. Yeah.
It's the first, you have to be like open to know yourself.
Right.
Like that.
And in therapy, especially, you have to have the vulnerability to be like, there's a reason I'm here.
Right.
And I've been in therapy since I was 11 years old. So, like, we've got a lot of practice, okay? I've been doing this for a decade and a half. Like, I'm on my game in therapy. I thought there was nothing they could tell me in therapy that I'd be like, I'm already doing that. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. Or, like, whatever. I'm very stubborn. Sorry, guys. That was very fast. I said that way too fast. Anyway, she told me that I needed to work on this. And I was like, I can't. And she's like, you can't or you won't. And that's a really good, like, that's a good thing to take home with you to think about in situations like with emotional intelligence, with catering to a different type of person. Like, you might look at your, let's use this as an example. This is a great example of emotional intelligence. Have you ever looked at someone that you've dated and they're dating someone new and you're like, that person is uglier than me. They downgraded.
That's the immediate response, not only for a lot of people initially, but also for like their friends. It's just like, it's so immediate.
Like, oh, like your ex is dating somebody new. He obviously downgraded or she obviously downgraded. Did they though?
Right.
Because how did you treat them in the relationship? Did you practice emotional intelligence? Did you cater to them in a way that made them feel loved?
Mm-hmm.
Did you care about the things that mattered to them? Because if you didn't, maybe they didn't. Maybe they upgraded.
Right.
Because to be honest with you, you could be a 10. You could be a 10 all day long in the looks department. You could have a body that is chiseled by God himself. You could have hair down to your fucking butt and perfect skin, beautiful eyes, perfectly bronzed skin, just like wealthy out the ass. But if you're an asshole, you're
God.
Two. You're soft two.
Yeah.
Every day of the
you're
week.
Soft two. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Oh my goodness. No, I 110% agree. I think that there's no, that you just, you summed that up perfectly, because it's just so important. And it's the same thing with, like, when people say confidence is attractive.
Yeah.
Confidence comes from knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any truly, truly confident person isn't humble enough to know their weaknesses, and not only their weaknesses, but truly know themselves. Yeah. Right. And know other people. And to know yourself is to understand other people.
Exactly.
As well. And I think that that old saying that confidence is attractive is just, you know, what we're saying now too, is that it's emotional intelligence is what it is.
Right.
So no, I totally agree.
Exactly. Okay. So I'd love to get your perspective on talking about FOMO, specifically around this feeling that everybody, quote unquote, is getting engaged, getting married, planning their weddings, buying a house, having a baby. Like, I swear to God, if I go on Facebook again, and some bitch from my high school is posting her engagement ring, or some other girl is like popping out her like eighth kid, I'm gonna strangle my boyfriend. Like, I physically can't contain it anymore. And I don't mean this in a pretentious way. I just remember that feeling of being single and being like, oh, fuck them. Fuck them and anything they could ever complain about, because at least they have each other. And I feel that now, even, I mean, I'm in a relationship, obviously, long-term relationship, but we're a long distance, and I've talked about this before in other episodes, but that feeling of feeling sort of like you're single when you're not,
sure,
and feeling left out of stuff,
yeah,
when there's couples constantly going to dinner together and planning these events, and it's like a couple and a couple and a couple and a couple. And I think, to be honest with you, that's part of the reason you and I bonded.
Yeah.
Because we were like the quote unquote single girls of our group. Yeah, like Jordan and I are dating. Everybody get on board with it. I'd love to see you guys ship us. Gen Z shirts coming your way.
Gen Z shirts. I think I just made the cut for Gen Z.
Yeah, there you go. But awesome. I feel that, and I'm really curious how that's manifested for you, because you have been single and you have been taking that time, yeah, to really work on yourself, but you've been intentional about it. Like, if you wanted to have a boyfriend at this point, you could have had a boyfriend. Like, you're choosing to be single. So I'm sort of trying to validate myself, I guess. And I'm just curious what you think about that feeling that you're like missing out on something.
It's so interesting. You know, I think it, you know, like FOMO and those feelings, they come in waves, right? And I think, especially in our environment here, Kenz and I live in the same apartment complex, so that's how we met. But all of our friends, our closest friends, are in relationships. And I think before I moved in here, it like used to bother me a little bit more, and I still get those waves. But I think at this point, there's more times that I've like taught myself, mm-hmm, that I'm just like fully embracing being like the seventh, the ninth, the 11th wheel. I'm like, let's go. I'm gonna be best friends with whoever like I'm close with. I'm like, I want to meet your boyfriend. I want to meet your girlfriend. And I'm like, and I'm okay being your third wheel as long as you're allowing it, you know. But I like to think I'm like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, you know, put myself in that mindset that like I'm totally fine. But there are plenty of times that, and I'm wholeheartedly a hopeless romantic, so this is also an issue. But there's definitely times where I'm like, I want to be with someone, and I want what they have. Or, you know, like in a friend setting too, you know, there have been plenty of times, even in the last like year or 2 years, where I'm like, I need today to myself, because I love being with people. It gives me a lot of energy, but I'm also someone that needs time alone, mm-hmm, to process my own thoughts and my own feelings and, you know, and just relax and to truly relax. So, but there's times where I've, you know, 3/4 of the way through the day, I'm like, oh, child, like I need a moment. I need, tonight is like Netflix and chill by myself. And But then I hear, like, you know, who I live with, like, everyone's going out, you know, with our group of friends. Yeah. And then, like, if you said yes too, like, because you're, like, the only single one out of, like, our little pack, like, yeah. I'm like, oh, damn. I was like, you know, I can't leave her alone. And then, like, B, like, they're all going to have fun without me.
I also have to say, in our friend group, it is the funniest dynamic. Jordan and I have talked about this before, obviously off camera. Our friends use us as scapegoats
all 110%. The time.
Like, they'll tell me, like, Jordan's going, or they'll tell Jordan, Ken's is going.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay. But then, like, you don't want to leave. Like, I never want to leave you hanging. But I'm also like, but I made this, like, commitment to myself. But also, like, I don't want her to be alone because I know how sometimes that sucks. But then other times I'll text you. I'm like, I'm going. And then you're like, I'm sorry. I just, like, can't.
Love you. Sorry, can't.
But if we both go together, which obviously does happen quite a bit as well, we are like, all right.
Yeah.
We're in this. We're dating. Like,
you and me.
Yeah. We also, like, I enjoy the nights. Like, we've had a couple of really good nights where it's just been us.
Yeah.
And we went to a restaurant on the water, just us, and we went to watch a Lightning game, and it was just us, and we had zero intentions for the night. We thought we were just going to get a couple drinks and watch the game.
Yeah.
We ended up turning it into a whole adventure. We met this group of people. We were, like, walking around.
Yeah.
And we, like, walked home, and, like, it was just fun. Like, there was something so...
They were such great people.
They were so great. If you guys are listening, hi. I won't say your names for privacy reasons, but, like, we had such a good time, and it was so pure. Like, there was guys there was girls there, but it wasn't like we were, like, flirting with the guys or anything. It was just, like...
It was very much a genuine conversation all around.
I totally agree. It completely felt like being in college again. When you get into, like, weird little thing.
You first meet people.
Yeah, and you're like, we're buddies now. We're going to, like, hang out tonight. And, like, they just turn into your pals. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just, like, had to throw in that note because I think it's so funny whenever they're like, but Jordan's going, or they're like, but Ken's is going. And it's like, we are not, like,
each other's partners.
Yeah, like, just because you have one doesn't mean you need the other. Like, but we also can go other places alone.
Yeah. You definitely, like, both of us are definitely very okay. Like, if you said really homie, like, no, I can't go tonight, I'd be like, okay. And I'd probably still end up going. Like, I know, like, you are very much the same. Like, our friend, Chels, we absolute gem, one of my very good friends, she told me one night that you were going. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I really needed, like, tonight just to, like, no one, just, like, by myself. And I'm like, but I don't want to leave Ken's alone. And she looked at me, and I was like, thank you, because she was like, she doesn't need you. And I was like, yes, ma'am, you're damn right. Yes, she does not. She's a confident, independent woman in a relationship, but independent woman, she can, you know. So I think we're very okay by ourselves, but I feel that, especially in our, like, specific friend group here.
Yeah it's really funny. I wish we could get everybody on for, like, a group episode one time.
We'll have
to.
There
would be way too many people talking over each other, and we're all so fucking loud that, like, no one would know what we were saying. It would be RIP to headphone users, but, like, RIP to speaker users, RIP to people listening on their phones. Like, no one would be able to listen to the episode. It'd be, like, nails on a chalkboard. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the social media thing, though. Because, obviously, our friend group is such a special thing, and I've talked about
this. Very correct, yeah.
In some of the first episodes of the show, just how special the people here are, and we're all from somewhere else, and we all just have, like, this mutual respect and love for each other. And so I feel like if one of us was even just transparent enough to be like, you know what, I don't want to go out tonight because I simply, like, can't handle the fact that, like, you're all in relationships, and, like, I just don't want to be a fifth, third, ninth, 11th, whatever wheel I may be. I just want to be home alone and, like, kind of bask in, like, the fact that I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way or a bad way, it doesn't matter. But social media can be a bitch.
For sure.
And especially in scrolling, and, like, it's unsuspecting, and it's almost, like, makes it worse because it's, like, gut-wrenching where you're suddenly, like, ooh, another engagement. Ooh, another baby. Ooh, they just bought a house. Ooh, they just got promoted. And, like, we sort of touched on this in the last segment, but, like, this idea of not feeling like you're progressing enough, like you're, like, late blooming in life simply because, like, you don't have a ring on your finger, or you didn't just buy a house, or, like, you aren't settled in that job that you love or you don't have, like, a passion project, for example. Like,
right.
I'd love to know, as somebody else who's, like, the same age as mm-hmm. me and, like, somebody who's navigating, like, a new career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mentioned before, like, you don't work in the field that you want to be working in.
Correct.
How does that make you feel?
So, especially, like, hitting on, you know, social media and seeing other people do it. And it's such a big picture, right? We'll look at this 10 right. years from now and realize that it was irrational. But, and not to say irrational, our feelings are justified. But it's so hard just to see those snippets of people's lives mm-hmm. and be like, oh my gosh, like, and you compare yourself so easily right. because it's not like they're there to tell you like all their struggles that they had to get there and that it exactly. took them a long time and maybe they had someone to help them, you know, or right. were given money for that house from their parents or were just given that house, you know, or, you know, have been met this person at a young age that just happens to be their puzzle piece, right? Like whatever right. it is. But when you only see those like 5 seconds or those, you know, that those couple posts on Instagram and you're like, what, where did they get the acceleration pack? And like, where's the booklet that I didn't buy on accident or wasn't told about
right.
that I am now 24 and single and not necessarily where I want to be professionally. And I think it's very easy to beat yourself up.
Yeah.
But you have to remind yourself that some of the best advice I've ever gotten in my entire life, and I'm an online school advisor now, full disclosure, very odd job for me currently, but I tell my students now that something I struggled with in school was that I compared to myself to all these kids that were what I thought challenged me in the same like intellectual, we were kind of peers, but they got to spend all day at school and study, whereas I worked 2 jobs and helped, you know, helped around the house, and I was a commuter, so like I didn't have that time. And I'd always maybe get like a grade less than them and would really beat myself up. And where it took someone, my older brother, we love you, but
shout out B,
but like he was like, dude, he's like, just stop. He like let me vent. And he was just like, okay, like all these people do not have the stresses that you have. He's like, so right. you cannot compare yourself. He's like, because they live completely different lives from you and maybe have benefits that you don't have or, you know, different struggles that you don't know. But he's like, whatever the case may be. And that really is something that I tried to remind myself of now, especially in social media, because it is toxic sometimes. Ooh, for your mind.
It is.
It's what we love. It's what we will never give up, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have to remind yourself that your own unique self and yeah. that you're on your own timeline and there is no timeline and we are yes. 24 and we live a long life. So knock on wood, you know, yeah. but I think that's what I try to remind myself now, but I do it all the time. I have friends that are my same age that are on their 3rd child, that are married, that have had this beautiful wedding that looks amazing, that have a house. And I'm like, okay, trying to pay my rent right now, you know, like, I'd like to buy a dog, you know, so it's just,
it's circumstantial, hard. Right? Yeah. So it's all like what you've been through. And like you said, it's not to say that those people didn't struggle
great.
In yeah. their early 20s or that maybe they didn't start saving up when they were 18, 19 to buy that house mm-hmm. or, you know, to have that wedding. I think for me, speaking of my experience, I feel like what hurts me, and I know that we've talked about this before, is like, I feel like when it comes to like weddings and homes and engagements and things like that. So like, for context, if you guys don't know, I've been in a relationship for 4 years. We did have a breakup in that for about a year. But we still talked every day. Mm-hmm. And it's still like everybody the entire time was like, why aren't you guys together? We were like, oh, we're just taking time to work on ourselves. But it's like, when we did, and I appreciate that. But I felt like time didn't pause then because we were still so close.
I'd agree with that.
And
that's just a part of your relationship now.
I totally agree. And I'm so grateful that it happened because mm-hmm. I think if it hadn't happened, there were things that we wouldn't have worked through. But in saying that, I do feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have so many friends, people in our friend group, for example, who are getting married in September. I have another friend who's getting married next July. You know, there are people all around me. And I know I joked about Facebook, but like truly, I feel like every time I get on Facebook, And maybe I should just stop going on Facebook. That it's is really, really like, good. It seems like Facebook. The root of the evil is Facebook. But Instagram as well. I keep seeing people are getting engaged. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that's really been hard for me. Because as my friends get closer and closer to their weddings, I feel like it's a stage of life that they're going into that I don't get to join them in. And yeah. they're going to be in this next phase of life. And by the time I'm getting married, they're going to be having a kid. And by the time I'm having a kid, they're going to be buying their first house. And by the time that they're buying their first, or by the time we're buying our first house, they're buying their second house. And, you know, there's that evil in comparison. And comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely.
Right? So you try and keep that in mind. But I'm also like, I wanted to go through that with them. Like, these are my best friends.
Yeah.
And I feel so left out in... I don't care about the wedding. I don't care about the ring. You could buy me a ring pop from Walmart. We'd get married in the parking lot right after. Like, I don't care about that. What I care about is feeling like my friends are planning these things and taking their next stage in their life, and I'm not a part of it with them. And maybe that's a thing I need to work on. Maybe that's just me being insecure. That could also be me trying to project their life into my own life. Like you said, like, there's just so much... There's so much else that other people could be going through or have worked through yeah. that I haven't done yet. That's character building I haven't done yet.
I don't want to cut you off, but I agree with that. Okay. But it's also like if you... I wholeheartedly can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Just because I feel that, you know. And yeah. it's like I said, it comes in waves, especially for myself personally. But sometimes it does feel like you're stuck in high school. And you had, like, you're a freshman, but you have all these senior friends, right?
Yes.
And,
oh, my gosh. That's a perfect...
And then everyone just goes off to, like, these, like, schools. And that's such a big hop, right? From high yes. school to college. Like, you're completely an independent, like, adult, basically, from high school to college. Especially if you go off and live at college and are away from your parents mm-hmm. for the first time. So, and I think that just hits on every different stage, like the getting married, getting engaged is a separate thing by itself, then mm-hmm. getting married, having the wedding, having kids, getting a house. And people do it in different increments, but I think there's always going to be that thing.
Right.
You know.
There's always something else that you're going to be chasing. And I feel like if I never stop feeling like I don't have a hold of it yet, I don't have a hold of it mm-hmm. yet, it's like you're going to live a fucking miserable life, which I don't want to do. And I feel like my boyfriend feels this pressure, right? Like, I know that he knows this. He keeps telling me, like, by the end of this year, like, we'll be engaged. Like, please just let me plan it. Please let me do what I want to do. And I'll be honest, I'm a total control freak. I have OCD, I have anxiety, and I have ADHD. I love things a certain way. Once I mm-hmm. decide I want something some way, I just want to see that
that's your haven.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, what a great, beautiful image I've created in my mind. I can't wait to see it come to fruition, even though I haven't told anybody about it. And it's completely out of my control. Yeah. But I feel like as a woman, men look at weddings as like, or look at weddings and engagements as like a woman chasing something. Thing and not someone, because I really do care about my relationship. I care a lot about my future marriage, but that doesn't mean that there's not fun things in planning. And as somebody who has OCD and literally does event planning marketing,
that's a love language in itself.
It's yeah. a love language for me. I'm like, girl, let me plan a couple parties. Like, you guys know yeah. if you guys are my friends listening to this, even if you're not, if you'd like to be, I love charcuterie boards. Yeah. This is like a small little detail about me, and it seems irrelevant, but I promise it's not. I love charcuterie boards. I love planning. Mm-hmm. I love doing wine tastings, and I love throwing parties for other people. So the idea of having bridal showers and engagement parties and having bachelorette parties and weddings and receptions and all these things, that's literally for me just about hosting. And I know a lot of people could argue, like, well, then just have a fucking party. But, like, I want a reason to celebrate that feels justified in terms of, like, spending money on something. I'm not mm-hmm. just going to spend money on things I don't need to spend money on. We have a girls' night every other Thursday. And, like, we all alternate so that we're not spending a bunch of money. Like, I can't justify having a party with hundreds of people that I love dearly, especially during, like, COVID times. And then also, like, justify spending all the money on food and gifts and outfits and all this stuff. Like, that's not realistic. But if it was for something like a wedding, something that you budget for.
The significance of the wedding.
Right, yeah. Exactly. That's something totally, like, I'm not Kylie Jenner. I can't just throw, like, a multi-million dollar right. party and then be like, oh, it was just because it was Thursday and I just felt like throwing a party. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not valid. And I feel like that plays into it, though, of, like, I see my other friends throwing these bachelorette parties. I'm like, that looks so fun.
Yeah.
Like, that looks so cool. And I'm like, is that immature of me to want that?
No.
For that, partially for that reason. Obviously, again, I want to emphasize, I want to get married because I want to have a marriage with my current partner. The party is a bonus.
The party is a bonus. And I can definitely, like, you know, speak as someone that's, like, seen your relationship and know, like, a little bit about your background, you know, with each other and how much you guys have grown together. Like, you two are very, like, your relationship means, like, so much. And coming from someone that, like, tried to, you know, definitely didn't have someone that really fit them, or sometimes we did not hear each other and yeah. we just chose to just still live our own ways. I can see that you guys work for each other. Like, you work for it, not because it means it, but you just, you love each other so much.
Yeah.
You know, so I can definitely, I'm, you know, speaking from seeing that firsthand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that as your close friend.
You're so sweet.
You know, but I think too, what makes it worse, you know, especially like the FOMO and, you know, seeing it consistently, is that we're the same age, right? We're like 24, 25, but at the same time, we, you know, and I'll speak for, I'm not going to speak for, like, on behalf of myself, because I don't know how other people perceive me, but I know that I, like, if I were talking to you and didn't know you, I would think you're older than you are, maturely.
Oh, okay.
Not because you look that way. Yeah. Like, if, like, knowing you and knowing your age, it makes, like, so much sense. But I've had a lot of people tell me that, and I know that you've had as well.
Yeah.
I've been with you when people have thought we're both 28, 29. But I think when you... And we have friends that mm-hmm. are older than us. The mm-hmm. majority mm-hmm. of our friends are
in
older
their
30s, than us.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it worse too, because now your whole feed is someone that's, you know, 3 or 4 years older than you.
That's so valid.
And so it makes valid. It worse because.
Wow, I never thought of that before. I don't know why that never occurred
to me. Well, it's the senior friends and you're the freshman, right?
Wow.
And so give yourself the credit of just being, you know, this awesome person that, like, just is, has that emotional intelligence and has that maturity, and you're just younger, you know? So I think knowing that kind of for myself makes it a little bit easier. So maybe it will for, you know, other people too, but it still sucks to see it, you know?
Dude,
not
snaps
again.
For Jordan with the analogy. I really love that.
I've worked this all in my brain already.
I've never thought of it like that before. I'm always just like, oh yeah, but like a couple people from my high school got engaged. So like now I'm like, they're all my age, but like, fact of the matter is most of the people I'm seeing on my feed, actually funny enough that you used the analogy, were like juniors when I was a freshman
yeah.
or seniors when Same. I was a freshman. Or they're like, our example now, we're like, they're my existing friends.
Yeah.
But our friends are in their late, like almost.
They at least
30.
Have 2 years on us, at least minimum.
Yeah. They're almost 30 or they are 30.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 in and of itself, I'm so excited to be 30. I've wanted to be 30 since I was like 16. I love the idea of being 30.
Yeah,
and I think that's so funny, but I do. Because people, like you said, have always said I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
But there's something, I'm sure it has something to do with 13 going on 30. But there's something to
I was
just
gonna
like,
go with that.
Sexy about being 30. Like truly like financially stable. Ideally good relationship.
Yeah.
Comfortable enough and like age-wise, like still be able to have a family.
Still look young enough.
Still look young, still be fun, like still be able to go out and do things.
Yeah.
Not that at any age you can't go out and be fun and do things, but like you're still considered young when you're in your 30s. I feel like everybody still looks at people in their 30s and like early 40s, like you're so young, you have so much life left.
Yeah.
Whereas like you're in your 20s, people are like, you're dumb. You're a dumb 20-year-old, like just wait, life gets whatever. But mm-hmm. it's like being in that weird 24 to like 27
age, it's a hard time.
People are like, you're still young. And it's like, but am I? Because I feel fucking old. And like 21-year-olds are young. I'm old. And they're like, they're like 3 years younger than you. And you're like, it's a different life. It's a totally different life.
I think it's worse too when you, like you and I feel like are on similar pages, mm-hmm. you know, day to day and where we are right now. Like we feel 30. Mm-hmm. But we're not 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shitty part, right? Is that because, like, I...
Girl, preach.
Feel like I should be on the level of our friends that are 28 and 30,
but we're not, because we haven't had those years and we haven't been able to make those mistakes or meet those people, you know, or just get there in our relationships. And that's okay. But when you feel 30 and you're 24, it just, it's hard to tell yourself that unless someone is just point blank being like, dude, jump, like you're 24, like, and really writes it out for you. Because I think when you are mature at a young age, it's just, it's hard to separate that, because you're like, no, I'm here 100%. And I should be at all these other places too, where it's like, no, well, you haven't had the extra 5-6 years to do that. But it's hard to tell yourself that when your maturity is already there.
Right.
You know,
you just made me think of something when you said that. So, you know how I just said, yeah, they're 3 years, but 21 is so different than 24 and 25.
Yes.
It's like only they're 3 or 4 years, but it's a whole different life.
It's a whole different life.
So think about all the things that have happened since you were 21,
yeah,
or 22, mm-hmm. however old you want to say, to now.
Yeah.
So for like, for me, I think of being 21, because I was 21 when I met my boyfriend. Yeah. And so I'm like, the girl I was when I was, because that was the last time I was like truly, truly single, mm-hmm. and I hadn't met him yet. I'm like, I was single, I was chasing boys, I was, albeit like, I never slept around, ever, ever, ever. Not that there's anything wrong with that, that just like was not my jam. Like,
yeah.
I dressed like I did, though. I was dressing like I should be walking on fucking Main Street. Like, hey, fellas, like, come over for a good time. Like, I was...
Come over for a good time.
I was not dressed like I meant well. And I was mean. So I was, like, the girl that, like, you don't want to fuck with because I'll just ruin your life. Because I'll make you fall in love with me and then I'll tell you I don't like you.
I don't truly believe that, but I can see maybe how saying. You've grown
it's
into
a
assets.
Whole other life.
It is.
That bitch was not in therapy. That bitch did not eat 3 balanced meals a day. She never drank water. She was living off of whiskey, boys' tears, and McDonald's.
You know, but you know, sometimes you just gotta live through that. You gotta like, and it's 100%. Okay. Yeah, but it's a completely different life.
It totally is.
It's a completely, completely different situation.
It makes
life.
Me thinking of that though, like in, like this sounds like I'm contradicting what I said. I'm not contradicting what I said. I'm adding to it because we're always growing, even if it's over a 10-minute
Absolutely.
Span. Feeling that makes me so excited about the future because I see how much I've grown just since I've graduated from college.
Yeah.
So I graduated from college when I was 22.
Yeah.
My boyfriend was in Afghanistan.
Crazy.
I was living with his parents and picking out apartments in a random ass city by myself. I was working at a call center.
The worst.
And I wasn't working in a, obviously in a field that was related to my major.
Yeah.
I was $170,000 in student loan debt and I had no money in my savings. I'd spent all the money I'd ever made in college while I was in college.
Yeah.
I had a car that did not fucking work and was a danger to me and everybody else on the road. And I had 250,000 miles on it. Or 100 miles, whatever.
I had that too.
And I had a dog that I had no business having. And I had no idea how to take care of or like pay for.
Yeah.
And I honestly like was in like a wishy-washy space with a lot of people I'd been friends with in college. And I was just starting to build the relationships with people who, as an adult now, would, like, become my good friends from college.
Yeah.
What a lonely and, like, weird place to be versus being 25. I'm a marketing manager for North America, EMEA, which is, like, Europe, if you're new here, and APAC, which is, like, Asia and the Pacific countries. So, like, Australia, New Zealand. That is my job. I manage
huge
all of
life
that.
Jump, huge life
huge
pivot.
Huge life pivot.
Yeah.
And people will say that I'm like unqualified. And even when I interviewed for this job, they were like, "How are you qualified to do this? How do you have all this experience?" I was like, "Cause I give a shit on the weekends."
Yeah.
All those people that are just clocking into a 9-to-5 are not me. I'm 7 to 7 every single day. And on the weekends, if you need me, I'm spending time learning, going to master's classes, like, you know, doing whatever it is I need to do to take that next, to take that next step. And that's not what you're going to get with somebody else who graduated and they were 21 and kind of just coasted for 3 years.
Yeah.
Or somebody that like didn't care. Like they had the opportunities, but they weren't going for it.
Yeah.
And now to be 25 and like be in the space where I'm paying for my own apartment on a salary that I've earned by working so hard. And there's obviously been privilege in that. We always have to talk about that. There's always privilege in different spaces.
There's a lot of things that you made yourself that happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I was very privileged enough to be able to have my loans approved to be able to go to college.
Yeah.
And to be able to take out private loans to go to school and to have my parents end up helping me after I graduated with one of my loans.
Yeah.
And that's always significant, even if it was a loan for $1,000. Like, that's $1,000 I don't have to pay. It was not for $1,000, but like, it was much more than that. But like, I'm so grateful for that. And to like, be able to go out and buy a car that I wanted.
Yeah.
And to be able to buy another dog. And, you know, just continue to grow. And this is not me bragging. This is me just showing gratitude.
No, but it's also you were just explaining that through that, even though it doesn't seem like that far away and 30 doesn't seem like that far away, that's a completely different life that you lived. That was a completely, it was a different economic status. It was a different,
absolutely
everything, a huge, absolutely, huge, like increase, you know, in your independence as well. And, but I think it's just hard to see in the moment, right? And I think that's what it comes back to, is just that it's, you can't sometimes see it in the moment.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. And it's not until you look back at yourself right now at 25, 24 and look back at yourself at 21 and be like, wow, you know, like that was, I was not nearly, I can't believe I've made it this far in this amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something I try to remind myself of and try to remind like any friends or family or people that I talk to. It's just like, be proud of yourself for how much you've accomplished and how much stress you've, you know, endured and all of that, because, you know, stop stressing about like the next 5 years, which is so easy to say, trust me, I do this every day. But but when you really think about it, like you accomplished so much in such a small amount of time. And I think now it's just, it's hard. You're always chasing that. Like, what's the Matthew McConaughey? Like,
I'm chasing myself 10 years.
And that's great to do, you know, but you do have to remind yourself of like, where was I, you know, those other 10 years back, you know, and how
showing gratitude proud for where you are and where you have been.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy that in the moment. Same absolutely thing as like being like, oh, I wish I was skinnier. Oh, well, bitch, in 5 years, you're going to wish you were as skinny as you are now.
Yeah.
So just live with it. Deal with it.
Love those curves, honey.
Yeah.
And men. Love them.
Love we all love of yourself. Love everything that you've been through. Honestly, I think such a big part of feeling this way, I think a lot of it falls in social media. And I hate to say that because a lot of my job does fall
in social media. It's a big part of, especially like our age, you know, what we grew up with.
But I think that another part of it is just like our generation's interactions with having anxiety and having this like sense of imposter syndrome that even when you are doing well, you still suck.
Yeah.
Like even if it's at work, if it's at home, if it's in your relationships, like even when things are going well, like I even had it today. I had a meeting this morning. I had a great presentation. My boss was so proud of me. I talked about it on my private story today and I was like beating myself up about it. And obviously we all have internal demons that happen outside of work. And that was what I was facing this morning after my presentation. I had an internal demon that just caught me at the wrong moment after I'd had something that I should have been really proud of. It was a report I spent weeks putting together. It's a 17-page report. It's huge. And I just like couldn't even enjoy it because I just kept thinking about this other thing. And then my boss asked to talk to me this afternoon. She's like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, yeah, of course. What's up? And I like didn't see her message for hours, which already made my anxiety skyrocket.
Yeah.
Then she was like, let's chat. And I was like, fuck, this is a really inopportune time to get fired. What a weird way to get fired. Like, why is that always my
let's
reaction?
Chat.
Yeah. And like, she's breaking up with me. But she was like, I just want to talk to you and tell you did a great job this morning. Thank you so much for putting so much time into that. I could really tell that you cared about what you were talking about and that you put a lot of time and effort into it. And I had such a bad day yesterday too. So I was like, I can't take this twice if she's going to fire me today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lose it. So her saying that meant so much to me. And she's like, I just wanted to ask if you were okay. Like, you seemed really off this morning and I just wanted to talk to you about that. And I sort of opened up to her about some of the things that I've been facing in my personal life. And she's like, I'm so sorry that you're going through all that. And I was like, no, I'm sorry that I just like spilled all that to you. Like, you have other things to worry about, because she's pregnant right now.
Yeah.
And she's like about to go on maternity leave. And she's like, I don't care. She's like, that's literally what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I was like, and you're not so a counselor. I was like, you're not a counselor though. And she's like, aren't I? I'm your boss. I care about you. I was like, you care about me? Like, I'm literally sitting there like about to cry because every boss I've ever had has literally never reached out to me unless they needed something.
Yeah.
Or they would give me a compliment or like ask how I was doing just to be like, by the way, do you have, when you have time, can you do this? I'm like, but while you ask me like how I'm doing and like I try and tell you or something, or like I try and open up, and I try not to be that person. Like if someone's like, oh, how are you? I'm like, oh, I'm awful. This is what's going on. Like I try and be, you know,
but it's okay. Grateful. It's okay not to be, you know, and I think that needs to be okay. And I think that bosses need to be more like your boss and be like, hey,
a human. Yeah. You mean?
Yeah. And not just treat you like you're part of like a team and a, just this number, you know, because that only makes you, that only makes imposter syndrome worse, right? And, you know, is never going to truly influence people. Like any boss is a manager, and any manager, their job is to influence the people that they are managing.
Right.
You know, and you can't do that by not treating them as an individual human, you know, and having those talks. So I think that's, and I think the truly, truly successful people are like your boss. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. She's the best. We love you, Rose, if you're listening to this. I have to ask you, though, like, do you feel that at your job? Like, do you feel, or, like, just in your life in general? I feel like it's most common at work. That's why I asked.
I definitely feel that at work because I'm not working in my, I have a health care background. So every job I've ever had besides, like, being a server in college has been like a, some type of medical technician, whether that was because I have a bachelor's in health science, looking into getting a graduate degree in counseling because I just love talking to people.
And thought well, that, you're great at it.
Thought that would be a good career. But I definitely get that at work. I think I have a lot of other attributes that work well in my job and that can make me successful, but because it's sometimes not what I can see myself doing long term, I'm like, oh, I'm never gonna be like truly good at this, or like they can tell type of a thing. And even if like for the first like couple months of this job, you're like, wow, like you're really coming out of the gates like doing so well, and I'm like, thank you so much. And I still felt like there's no way I'm like sitting
right
next to these people doing as well as them that have been doing it for years, because I just didn't have that background, you know? And same thing with like, I'm looking right now while I'm like looking into grad schools to go into sales. And I think I could do, I think a lot of my like personality attributes would do well in sales because it's same like talking people, you know, kind of saying, like, what do you need? You know, and this is what I can give you. You know, like, let me help you help me type of a thing. And, but I've never had that. So like, even in like job interviews I've had for that recently, I'm like, you know, I like, I really have to give myself consistently telling myself mentally the confidence of like, you are like valuable to them, even though I don't think most of the time that I am, because I just don't have that experience. Yeah. You know, and I'm confident in who I am, I'm confident in my abilities, but there's definitely times of those doubtful little thoughts come into your head and you're just like, oh, but am I? Can they see it?
It's I think they can see it. It's so hard to mute that voice too when it has to do with your career, because it's subjective to like your knowledge base, and it's like, but do I know this? Am I just pulling shit out my ass? Like, what am I saying? Do people actually believe me? And as you progress in your career, no matter what career you're in, I feel like just as you get older, people look to you more for guidance because there's people younger than you looking up to you, and they're like, oh, that must be true. Like, I never once have ever questioned somebody who I have reported to or who has, and maybe that's my own fault, but like,
no, I agree with you.
People say stuff and I'm just like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, especially starting out, I was like, I don't know much about anything. I passed, got my degree. I feel like I understand things well enough to understand them, but like, you've been in this field for, you know, 5-6 years.
You have to
like,
know better.
I trust you. I trust your day-to-day experience, because it's like they say about like learning a language. Like, sometimes you don't have to take a Rosetta Stone class to learn a language. No. Sometimes it's circumstantial, and you learn from the people around you.
Yeah.
And I started to believe that in my career, but like, obviously I work in marketing, so it's a little bit different because there's like technicalities where it's like, and I'm sure you experience that in healthcare as well, where it's like, you can't totally make shit up on the spot.
No,
like, you
have
to definitely know to a certain extent, but there are definitely things you can bullshit. Like, and I think the number one thing that people bullshit and bullshit well is social media marketing.
Oh, yeah.
I can talk about that for hours. Maybe we'll do that on another podcast if you guys are interested, but
social media marketing is fake. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart as somebody who works professionally in social media marketing. You could ask Joe Schmo off the street to write a tweet for you, and that tweet could do well for absolutely no reason, and there's no
formula.
There is, to an extent, but, like, I mean, you have to have a really baseline knowledge of social media to be able to be successful. It's those who really, truly understand it that are skyrocketing with it, and obviously they know the algorithms, they know the times to post, they know the sort of content. I mean, that obviously all plays into it. The language that you use, mm-hmm. the type of links that you use. Again, I sound really boring. I'm not going to talk about this. I promise I'm almost done. But that does play a part in it. But there's, to an extent, you can use a hashtag and write whatever the fuck you want in a tweet. And
yeah.
People might just retweet it because they like what you said.
Yeah.
I mean, and that in and of itself is like, why the fuck did I pay $170,000 to, like, learn about this if, like, I could have just, like, been on social media and, like, been learning from those around me.
Yeah.
So. Imposter syndrome's a real bitch. That's a great way to wrap up this segment.
All right, you guys. Well, I just checked the timestamp and it looks like we're sitting at about an hour and 30 minutes. That's what you get for letting me have a guest. You guys wanted a guest and that's what you got. So, I usually keep myself in check when I'm sitting here alone in the corner in the dark recording, but I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Jordan, thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I loved hearing all of your thoughts on everything that we talked about. I hope you guys did too. Is there a spot where people can find you on social media, maybe like your Instagram or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram is J_Broderick. And Broderick is spelled like Matthew Broderick, B-R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K.
Awesome. All right. And if you guys are looking for the Tampa Babe Instagram, it is at Tampa B-A-Y-B-E podcast on Instagram. And you can always find me on TikTok and Instagram at Ken_Z Mitchell with two L's, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. I love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. You got a 2x as long episode this week because there was no episode last week, but there will be an episode next week. It will be just me again, so I'm so, so sorry. But make sure you send Jordan a bunch of sweet messages and like this in any platform that you see it on, always, please. And make sure that you follow us on Spotify and set the notification bell to on so that you get notified every time I post a new episode. And we will see you next week. Florida Man out.